Begin the current daven Sechtes Brachas Dav Nun. We begin in Amid Beis. Begin with Tesis Divrei Maaskal. Tesis begins with the words of the Gemara Shechaku Achanoi Shutvin, that if brothers or partners separated it, then it's Tahir, then it's going to be pure. Tesis asks on what's Rava's proof, and Tesis explains, meaning the Gemara brought that Rava proved his halacha, that if, let's say, the prior group that he was in already did Zimun on him, so then his obligation of Zimun has left, and even though now he's part of a new group of three, that each one of them came from a prior group of three, still, there's no more Zimun here. And what's the proof? It's from this case that about a bed that was stolen or was divided by brothers or partners, that is, as the Divrei Maaskal of Taisus, that it was separated. Because of this, it's not Mekabel Tumah, and that is, even if you put it back together again, it'll only be able to be susceptible to Tumah from here on on. But what was, and therefore it's not going to be Tame. So you see that once you separate, which is, so to speak, the same idea about separating from an original group, you already lost your prior obligation of Zimun that you had by eating by a group of three. And that says Taisus Tamum, but it's a wonder. Because the Amr B'Sukkah, the Gemara says in Sukkah Daf Tezayin Menalf, Mita Mitame Ivarim, a bed does contaminate even parts of it. The separate parts of the bed do contaminate Kagain Arucha, like the long beam, the large side of the bed, or Ushte Kraim, or the two legs which are attached to that beam, that will have a law of Tumah. But doesn't our Gemara say over here that a bed that's divided is not Makabel Tumah? Says Taisa, but Linera, to me it seems the Hasa Mairi there it's talking about. Yeah, when is a bed mitami, when even though it's parts of the bed, not the whole bed, is if you could put it back together as it originally was, a little sakna and to fix it, because the legs are here, and even a regular person could put it back together, that even though it's separated, it's still considered in its original state, and therefore it's makabel tumah. In contrast, we're talking about, in our Gemara, where it cannot be put back together simply as it originally was, and therefore it's going to be tahar mekana labah. Now, and therefore it's not going to have the tumah as it is in its current state when it was separated. But then Taimah says, if you're going to say, amai loy, and the gear says either paruch or maisi, hacha, why didn't the Gemara Rava bring over here a proof regarding his halacha that if you separate something, then you lose its original status, like for Zimun and for the laws of tumah? Why does he bring from a bed specifically that the partners divided the parts of the bed? Why doesn't he bring from the generic halacha of kol klisha nishbar? It's halacha, which is a more of a general halacha, that any vessel that's broken, vitar, it becomes tar. Amasur you see, kivin de bagus, so once you separate something, parach l'tumah, so that releases its tumah, and so too over here for the laws of Zeman. Why specifically this halacha of separating the bed? Says Taisus Balin Nira, to me it would seem the shani hasim, because there it's different by the halacha of a vessel that breaks. It's not fit at all anymore to put the pieces back together again. Well, the kabel tumah fil makan laban, it's never even going to have tumah even from here and on, because you can never reconstruct that vessel. And that's not comparable to three people. They are fit to go ahead and make a new chiv of zimun, and therefore they wanted to prove it from the bed that was separated, where it is fit to put it back together again. Even so, since it's not like such a simple thing to put it back, unlike the Gemara and Sukkah, so it loses its original tumah and will only have mekan lapa. That's exactly what we're saying for zimun. Although they could have a new obligation of zimun, but their old obligation has already been removed from them. Continue next taste of Maslow. Taste begins with the words of the Gemara: Shamash mitzarfan lezimun. The waiter, the attendant, combines them for the laws of zimun. Which Taisa explains that the Chiddush is that it's not only in one house. That is, the Gemara brought the halacha of the Mishnah, the two groups in one house, even though they don't see each other. So if it's just like that, they don't see each other, so then they have to do their own zimun. But that's what our Gemara in the Braisa comes to explain. That's only if there's no waiter. But if there's a waiter, even if they don't see each other, the waiter, he then combines the two of them. Says Taisa, who had the Mishnah batin? The truth is, it's not only in one house, it's even in two different houses. If the same waiters that attended to this party and to that party, mitzarfen, they could combine. And b'chein yisubi Yerushalmi, says Taisa, so it's brought in the Yerushalmi. As long as they hear the birchas ha-mazim from the one who's benching for everyone, then they could combine in the one zeman. So says Taisa, v'hadu nag masnizn, then why do we say in the Mishnah bayis echad, specifically that of one house, that's when we say that they don't combine if they don't see each other, but the waiter will combine them? Is Mishum Chiddush the Seifa, says Taisus, because we wanted to say the novelty of the opposite way, of the Seifa. That Philip Abai Sechid, yes, even in one house, in love, if they don't see each other, then Emazan, then they don't do Zimun. But the truth is, if they do see each other, or they have the waiter, it'll actually be even two houses. We're just saying the stringency in one house, even though it's one house, if they don't see each other, they cannot combine with Zimun. And says Taisa b'chein b'beis chasanim. So too, like when they have by chasno, k'sha'ichon b'chuppa, when they eat by the chuppa b'beis batim, by the wedding they eat in two different houses. But you have the same waiters attending to each party. And again, like we said, as long as both parties hear the benching from the one who's doing the benching, then that's okay, even though it's two different houses, because the shamish is mitzvah from lazim. Continuing next, Taisa b'masal, but Taisa begins with the words of the Gemara, b'yi priya eitz, and m'nit l'manit l'idayim, you could wash until sidayim, you could wash your hands with this wine. Taisa comes to explain and qualify these words of the Gemara. And that is, the Gemara brought that there's an opinion that regarding wine, that if no water was put into it to dilute it from its raw state, then it's not really like considered bona fide wine. You make a b'yi priya eitz, and you also can wash your hands with it. Now, Pirush Rashi explains, because kilei nasal teichamim, when you didn't put water yet into the wine, lahava alikamei peris, it doesn't have the status yet of wine. It's like all other fruit juices, and therefore you make a b'yi priya eitz, like all other fruit juices, and you can wash your hands with it. Now, it says Taisa mekam mashma from that interpretation, Rashi, it sounds like to made peris kasher until zidaim, that you could fulfill your obligation until zidaim with fruit juices. And b'yesh l'chalak, so therefore you have to differentiate bein hani daminim perikal abasa, between those which are mentioned in chulin of kavzayin and aleph, da chuzusa kabadisu, where the Gemara points out that we're particular about the color, that it should look like water. If it changed the color of the water, then it's not valid until zidaim. Taisa says that's different than fruit juices, which they don't have the color of water, but there's going to be valid because it's the color of the fruit juices, as someone explained, and that's a valid color. Whereas by the water that changed the color, it's bad water, and therefore that would be actually worse off than the fruit juices, which don't have the color of water. Now, but Taisa says, however, yesh mefarshim, that those explain no, that actually the natilas yadayim be'in in mayim, for the washing of the hands of the natilas yadayim, when we have to wash, let's say for a suda, you need water. So like it says in the pasuk, v'yadav lishatav b'mayim. That is, it says in the pasuk, his hands he did not wash in water, which sounds like that to make natilas yadayim for a suda, which is learned from this pasuk, you need to have mayim. And rather, therefore, one must say that here when we're saying you could be natil your yadayim, you could wash your hands, it doesn't mean for the halacha of natilas yadayim, it just means for like cleanliness, that one could use the wine. You don't have the problem about inappropriate use of the wine, because it's not really wine yet until you put in water. Continue with Taisa b'masal. Taisa begins with the words of the Gemara, Kaman Azla. Who does it go like Hadamish Mulduchulu? It's going to Rebbe Eliezer like Rebbe Eliezer, which Taisa comes to explain how do we rule in the halacha. That is, the Gemara brings that. Shmuel said that the person could do all his needs with a piece of bread. It's not considered inappropriate. And the Gemara says that's like Rebbe Eliezer. Says Taisa l'chayim mashma. So from here it sounds like from the Gemara that it says that Shmuel is like Rebbe Eliezer. Now, mimai de am Rebbe Eliezer, it's from the fact that Rebbe Eliezer says that regarding the wine, until you put in water, that says you could wash your hands with it. Obviously, we see that you're allowed to utilize food items for your private purposes, and that's not considered a problem of using the food for that. And that's exactly what Shmuel said, that you could use the bread for your own personal usages. Now, it says Taisa b'Batim, it's a wonder. Why? Because the minim b'perek b'med time that we say in Shabbos, that nunim b'beis, the Gemara qualifies the teaching of Shmuel and says, when did Shmuel say he's teaching it, you could use like a piece of bread for your own personal usages, is b'mid de lamimis. Only if it's something that's not going to make the thing disgusting. B'mid de lamimis mi amar, but something that's going to make it repulsive, the food item, did he say that? That's what the Gemara says over there. So it says to Yisrael, Kain, if that's the case, heichim mokam la had Shmuel k'Rebbe Eliezer, then how could our Gemara say that the teaching of Shmuel is Rebbe Eliezer that permits one to wash his hands with wine? But wine is midi de mimis min tilsi daim. Wine becomes repulsive when you use it to wash your hands. And something repulsive, the Gemara says in Shabbos, that Shmuel agrees that you can't do. How could Shmuel be the same as Rebbe Eliezer? Vaikasha, another difficulty, says Taisa, is because the hacha mashma, from our sugya, it sounds like, the ain halacha k'shmuel, that we don't follow Shmuel in this teaching, but the muki like Rebbe Eliezer. From the fact that the Gemara says like Rebbe Eliezer, and we know throughout Shas that Rebbe Eliezer is called Shamuti, he's the excommunicated one, that we don't rule like Rebbe Eliezer. Now the difficulty is the peg sheni the bay and the second peg himself the bay of chof alvam a bay is kamestam of the gemara an anonymous gemara which generally that means to say that's how we rule says the sufli lechivasa beyamtim that we could go ahead and feed the date pits to the animals which is the animal food on yamtiv how so isn't it muksa says the gemara demetal talinan luhu agar rifta you could move it through something else what's the other thing through a piece of bread that's how you could go ahead and bring it to the animals kishmul which is like shmul. Which means to say you could use your personal usages, you're not using the bread to eat, you're using it to go ahead and move the date pits. Mashman the Kamal Kaba say that sounds like we do like him, and Agamar makes it sound like we don't rule like him. So to answer both questions, says Taisa v'Yashem, what you could say is that actually the Hachal Kamar illa divrei Rebbe Eliezer. Our Gemara was only coming to qualify, not Shmuel's teaching. It was coming to qualify according to the opinion of Rebbe Eliezer, the Savala Kadesh Shmuel, that he's like Shmuel. And Vadifim in the comment, actually, Rabbi Elazar is even more than Shmuel. Shemata fel hechad mimis. Yeah, he permits it even when it gets disgusted. But v'loy nachas kan el lafarish time to Rabbi Elazar. But actually, the Gemara here is only coming to explain the interpretation of Rabbi Elazar, which is that he holds you allowed to wash your hands even with wine, and that's because he holds you allowed to use your food for personal purposes, which is like Shmuel, but even more than that, even becomes disgusting, Kedibrash Namuk explain, and therefore, yeah, it could be that the halacha is like Shmuel, as we find the Gemara in Beya. Our Gemara here that's saying Shmuel is Rabbi Eliezer is not to say Shmuel is Rabbi Eliezer, it's just to explain Rabbi Eliezer that he's like Shmuel, and therefore, it's that answers both questions that Taisus had, that you're right, Shmuel, as the Gemara sounds like in Shabbos of Nun Mebeis, only permits it by something that's loy mimis. It's Rabbi Eliezer that permits it even something that becomes repulsive. Now, continues Taisa Bahag Amar, the Baal Halacha's Gedolos, he says, the Halacha Kraban Dahacha. Halacha follows like Rabban over here in our Sugya, that you're not allowed to wash your hands with wine, whether you put in water yet or you didn't put in water yet, and, but still, Halacha Namik is Shmuel. And Halacha is also like Shmuel. What I mean, didn't we just say Shmuel is like Rabbi Eliezer? And Rabban disagreed with Rabbi Eliezer. So says the Bahag, because the Chikam is Shmuel, when did Shmuel say, Hani mili midilay mimis, is exactly what we just qualified before. He only said his teaching by something that does not become repulsive. Of a midilay mimis light, but something that does not become repulsive, then something that becomes repulsive, he didn't say that. And therefore, something that does not become repulsive, even the Rabbana would agree that's permitted. Because the Rabbanan that say, you now that you use wine, wine is something that becomes repulsive. So it's not a contradiction to rule like a Rabbanan and to rule like Shmuel. Now, it says Taisus that this ruling of the Bahag is the like Bishop Bein Tam, which is not like Bein Tam. Shapasik the like Shmuel, he ruled not like Shmuel, Medemuki like Rabbi Eliezer, like we said earlier in Taisus, from the fact that he's like Rabbi Eliezer, we know we don't rule like Rabbi Eliezer. But says Taisus, no, Elavadi, most definitely, Kamel and Kishmuel, we do hold like Shmuel, like the way the Bahag says, Kedibarashim, like we explain, because it's not a contradiction. Shmuel actually is not like Rabbi Eliezer, it's just we're explaining Rabbi Eliezer through Shmuel. If that's the case, says Taisus, la halacha mutar lismicha ka'ar b'pas. So then you're allowed to support and steady a plate with a piece of bread. Hechad le mimis. You're allowed to use for your own personal purposes a piece of bread as long as it doesn't become repulsive, as long as the bread's not going to become disgusted. You're allowed to support it with a piece of bread. Now, but Yeshem and Taisus says some say that tzarch la'ochla achakach. It's only if you eat the bread after you used it to support that plate. Now, b'yesh noigim lechol dais b'pas. Says Taisus, some have the custom to eat porridge with bread. For the same reason, although the bread becomes disgusted when you use it like a spoon for the porridge, but since it'll eat it afterward, that's okay. But Taisa says, in Masech LeSeifim, they say it's forbidden, because in Masech LeSeifim, it's broad, that you can't eat a food item with a food item, meaning you can't use the bread as like a spoon for the porridge. Only if you're eating it together at the same time, you're dipping the bread into the porridge and you're taking a bite of the bread. That would be the only way, but you can't use it as a spoon. But says Taisa v'shem ahid like a Shmuel, maybe that price in Masechta Seifim is not like Shmuel, but maybe according to Shmuel, who we rule like, he would say that it's permitted because that's not considered making the bread repulsive because you are going to eat it subsequently also, and therefore maybe actually it would be permitted to be done. Continue next Taisa de Maschel. Taisa begins with the words of the Gemara. Moedim chacham li Rabbi Eliezer. Chacham do agree with Rabbi Eliezer, but kishel bracha. Not just a regular cup of wine, but that of a blessing that you're making on a significant thing like Kiddush. She'im avarchan of that, you don't make a bracha on achi and latecha mayim until you put water in it. Which Taisa asks from the sugya later on. Because the Gemara brings that even the Chacham who hold that wine is considered wine even before you dilute it with water, that you make a bar pri agafim, but they agree, as our Taisa brings, that for a kishal bracha, by a chasna, by a Kiddush, then you have to add water. And that is Taisa b'tema, but it's a wonder. Damin l'kaman, the Gemara tells us later on, Dalad v'am nemer b'kreshal bracha, Rabbi Yechon rules that there's four things that we say that are integral for a kreshal bracha, which is what we're discussing. Chai, that it's raw, meaning undiluted. Umale, and full. So how could we say that, to the contrary, that's what the Chama greeted Rabbi Yechon, that you have to dilute it. To the contrary, we see kreshal bracha should not be diluted. So B'yashlam Taisa has three different interpretations. Either, no, the be'ina sheetnu chai l'techa kais, yeah. It needs to be undiluted when you pour it into the cup. That's what the Gemara later on says. And then later, when you come in to drink it, after you filled it up, once it's in the cup, then you dilute it. So it's both halachas are true, and therefore the Chacham do agree that you have to dilute it by kreshal bracha. Or Yinami, a second interpretation is, what does it mean chai? It means bein chai min achavis. It means to say that, especially you're bringing it straight from the barrel, straight, it's a special, that you're opening up the barrel for the kreshal bracha, that's what it means chai. Or Yinami, a third interpretation is, koya kois atzman. What do you mean chai? It doesn't mean the wine should be undiluted. It's going on the cup. Umay chai, what does it mean the cup should be chai? Alive? It means shalom, means intact. Kedisa makas, like we find the terminology, the Gemara makas after Zayin Mabez, it says, Risik test no ma'olim, it says, someone crushed 9 ants. Ve'echet chai b'chul, and one of them is chai. Now, what does it mean one of them is chai? Alma daisei chai, we know obviously that when it says over there chai, it means chai neshalom, because that's what the Gemara is discussing, over there one is intact, which is a barrier. But be that as it may, we say the word chai means whole. So chenam here also be'inan she'ehei ha'koy sholem means to say that the cup has to be intact, b'lei shvi, without any breaks. That's what means chai, and never doesn't contradict the halacha that we're saying over here, that the wine itself has to be mazik, has to be diluted by a kesha bracha. Then the next taste of maschal, taste begins the words of the Gemara, l'may chazi, that for what does it fit? That is, the Gemara had asked, according to Rabban, that they say you make a bay paragraph and even on undiluted wine, which is very, very strong. So the Gemara says, why do you make a bay paragraph? It's not worthy of drinking. You can't drink it. So Tayyip explained what the Gemara's question is that pirish, in other words, and therefore what? Doesn't mean that you can't just drink it. It means ulamay ishtani ileluya. So it means to say, so why does this make this wine better than other fruit juices? He said, you make a special bracha bay paragraphin. The whole reason is because it's a higher quality beverage. But it's not. When it's undiluted, then it's not even such a good drink. Mashani, that's a good more answer. Likuryati, no, for this certain type of drink that they actually would put in raw wine, that is the chashivas of wine, even in that state, and therefore you still make a bari priagafen. And says Taisa Bachin Alocha, and actually the Alocha is Karabanan, the Yayin Chaim of Archon Labai Priagafen, even undiluted wine, you make a bari priagafen. As we find, the proof is Darmin, like we say in the Gemara Pesachim, Kafchasim Abeis, Shasan Chai, when it talks about the Dal Kaisas, the four cups on the Seder night, if you drink it undiluted, yes, you fulfill your obligation. Obviously, we consider that as wine like the Chachamim, and therefore the Alocha like them, that you make a bari priagafen. See the next taste, the Rimaschal taste begins with the words of the Gemara of Ein Zerken Esa Eichon. We don't throw food items. Taste explains that regarding what would Shmuel agree and what would he disagree. And that is, the Gemara brought that there's four halachas we say regarding bread. One is, you don't put raw meat on bread, you don't pour a full cup over a bread of wine, and you don't throw bread, and you don't support a plate with a piece of bread. And moreover, that all other food items are forbidden to be thrown. So Taisa says, Bahani Shleisha, in the following three, Moedah Shmuel agrees to, although he says you could use for your personal usages bread, but he agrees that Emavir and Kaismali al Pas, not supposed to pour, pass over a full cup of wine on a piece of bread because it might spill on the bread and ruin it. You don't cut a raw piece of meat on a piece of bread because that's disgraceful for the bread. And Ve'inzarkin as a pas, he also agrees that you don't throw a piece of bread, even if it would not become disgusted by that. And Mechin Sha'arachin, also all other food items, Asalizrik, but Midi Demimis, you now throw a food item that will become repulsive. Now, so what does Shmuel hold that when he says you could use your personal usages? It's only regarding the halacha of supporting a plate with a piece of bread that he held as mutter, but these other three things he agreed that they're forbidden. Continue the next taste, the Maschal taste begins with the words of the Gemara, V'lei b'maisag sham, and not in the winter months. Which Taisa asks, regarding this that we say that you now throw nuts in the winter months, and Taisa explains, where the Gemara said that they would throw in front of the Chas Nekala roasted grain and nuts, only in the summer, but not in the winter, because it's going to become repulsive in the mud. Taisa asks, why would it be forbidden to throw nuts in the winter months? Although with nuts, what do you mean? The nut inside doesn't get ruined. It has a hard outer shell, so it doesn't become disgusting. It even falls in the mud. However, it says Taisa, however, when it falls into the mud, it's disgusting even with the shell to pick it up from the ground, and therefore no one's going to end up eating it. So although the nut doesn't get ruined, but that's considered like a hefsed eichon because no one's going to end up taking it out of the mud. And therefore it's forbidden, even though it's covered with a strong shell. Now, but Taisa points out, however, Achshav Shadarchan Lizrik Chitim Beis Chasanim. Now that the custom is to throw wheat kernels by the house of the Chasan, when they're celebrating with the groom, so it says Taisa Tzarch Lizoy. So you have to be careful. Shli Yizrukum El B'Makam Naki, only throw it in the clean place. Again, because of this halacha, so that it shouldn't come to a loss of food items. Although you're allowed to do it, but mid the loy mimis. But if it's going to come to be mimis, then that's actually something that we said that would be forbidden to be done.